You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey, y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 179. Today's episode is a discussion of the similarities and differences between French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. It's a question we get often, so I thought we'd address it here. The last show was a question and answer episode where I answered questions from listeners like you. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. First up, support comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection, the city's premier history museum located at 520 Royal Street in the heart of the French Quarter. Check out their online publication called First Draft. It's a combination blog and online exhibition space at hnoc.org/firstdraft. Through April 17, 2023, check out their in-person exhibit titled French Quarter Life, People and Places in the Vieux Carré. It features artists from around the world who've worked to capture and share their impressions of New Orleans' most iconic and historic neighborhood. Beginning on April 28, 2023, the Historic New Orleans Collection will present an exhibit about women's right to vote. It's titled Yet She Is Advancing, New Orleans Women and the Right to Vote, 1878 to 1970. As we all know, the 19th Amendment granted American women the right to vote in 1920, but Louisiana laws effectively disenfranchised black women. As many white women started going to the polls and increasing their political participation, African American women continued to fight for access to the ballot. From paying poll taxes to organizing voter registration drives, black women challenged their status as second-class citizens up to and through the passage of the Voting Rights Act in 1960. The exhibit tells a decades-long story through objects, images, documents, and interactive displays, and through the words of the New Orleans women who for almost 100 years persisted in their struggle to obtain the right to vote. As always, the Historic New Orleans Collection is free. It somehow continues to fly under the radar, but it really shouldn't be missed. Go to hnoc.org/visit to plan your trip. Last month, March of 2023, marked the return of Two Chicks Walking Tours as a sponsor of Beyond Bourbon Street. Longtime listeners probably remember the crew over at Two Chicks operates intentionally small public walks. They max out their tours at 14 guests compared to the legal limit of 28, so half the size of the city ordinances, and they have tours 7 days a week. The experiences are focused in the Garden District and the French Quarter neighborhoods. Two Chicks also produces private curated walks for groups from 1 to 200 when they're asked to. The team is female-led, but they do have one rooster strutting around, and there are tour guides from before the lockdown still on staff, so they have plenty of experience. Another thing I like about Two Chicks is if you book a tour and you're the only one, or maybe one or two of you have signed up, they'll take that tour out, so there's no minimum. There's a maximum of 14, unless it's a private tour that you've arranged, but that no minimum really makes it personal. So I hope that they see you on the streets soon. You can find out more at twochickswalkingtours.com. We'll put a link in the show notes as well. And additionally, we're working on putting together a Beyond Bourbon Street tour with them. So it'll be advertised first through our Patreon group and then our Facebook community, but we'll have an opportunity for people to sign up and go on a tour with other fans of the Facebook and members, fans of the podcast and friends via the Facebook community. So I hope to see you there soon. All right, so now what I want to jump into is talk about the two major festivals in New Orleans, French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. We get a lot of questions about the two and which one should I go to and how are they similar and different. And we have guides on both of them in earlier episodes, and I'll put links if I can find them in the show notes, which will be over at beyondbourbonst.com/179. So you kind of have a survival guide for each of them. But today we're going to focus a little bit on the similarities, kind of an overview of each, and the similarities and differences. And I'll just give you some of my insights into them. So first up, French Quarter Fest, because it's first on the calendar. It's held in early to mid-April each year. It's in the French Quarter, as the name implies. It's a four-day event. Let's talk about some good things. It's free. So it's spread out throughout the French Quarter, and there's no ticket cost for any of the the concerts. There's a wide variety of music genres, including jazz, blues, and Cajun music. It is unlike, but there's a lot of overlap with Jazz Fest. But unlike Jazz Fest, the French Quarter Fest is almost entirely New Orleans and Louisiana musicians. And when I say almost entirely, it's like 98 or 99%. So you won't find big artists from outside of New Orleans or Louisiana, but you will find a very big variety of top-notch, world-class talent from within the state and certainly from within the city. Excuse me. It's in many ways a smaller, more intimate setting in the heart of the French Quarter. So the French Quarter itself is not tiny, but it's still inclusive, if you will. And because of the fact that the stages are all throughout the French Quarter and some of the events, there's a couple of indoor events, none of the stages are anywhere near as big as even a medium-sized stage at Jazz Fest. It does have a really family-friendly atmosphere, and there are activities for kids. There, this year, I believe there's a STEM-based children's activity area. There's music for kids as activities and things to keep them busy, plus the usual treats and things like that. So I mentioned there's a children's area. There are local food and drink vendors. There, again, is some overlap with Jazz Fest, but you're going to experience all of your favorite New Orleans foods. Those you do pay as you go to each of the tents. I believe this year they are still using cash. They may also use credit cards. They do use credit cards at some of the booths, actually, but they are still taking cash, and that's one important difference we're going to get to when it comes to Jazz Fest. They go until 8 p.m., so on the 4 days, concerts start usually at 11, some stages a little bit later, and the latest stages go to 8 p.m., so you have, you know, about 9 hours of music with just small intervals throughout the 4 days. And there are, I did not look it up, but there are probably 10 to 12 different venues in the French Quarter, so I'm saying venues, they're mostly stages. Over at Ursuline Convent, there's a chapel there, and there's some indoor performances. There might be a couple of other indoor performances throughout the festival, but for the most part, it's outdoor stages. There are also after dark events. Now, those tend to be paid, but those are concerts that are kind of in conjunction with French Quarter Fest. So you'll find a big musical lineup throughout the city, not only in the French Quarter, but in the surrounding areas, particularly in the Central Business District. You'll find after-hours concerts. Another thing that I like about... So that's kind of the highlights and a lot of the good points there. Another good point I would say is that you can duck in and out of the heat pretty easily, because you can go into the local shops and the museums. I mentioned the Historic New Orleans Collection and as one of our sponsors, and they are open during the festival. Pretty much all businesses and museums are open during their normal hours while the festival is going on. So you go to a stage and it's hot and you just want to get out of that, you have the option to go into any of the museums. Or another small place I really like in the French Quarter is called Bavolo. It is, they make gas lanterns, gas lamps that you see outside of many businesses and homes. But in the back of it, in Exchange Alley, which is where the Pelican Club restaurant is, on that alley, they have a little museum. It's like a one-room working museum where they have kind of a history of the gas lamps. And they also have people back there working on actually manufacturing lamps while you're there. And that's free to go see. That's just one of the many things you can do. Again, the Historic New Orleans Collection is free. There are lots of museums in the French Quarter that have small admission prices, but they're open. You can wander in and out of the bookstores. You can do all the things you would normally do in the French Quarter, but you can walk out of those things and be at the festival. Another really nice thing about the festival, although it is expensive because it's the French Quarter during an event, is you can stay in the French Quarter or nearby in the Central Business District or the Warehouse District and walk just a few blocks and be at the event. It's also nice that this idea of going in and out because you aren't paying for the events. If you want to go hear one band, or you want to go to one stage, or maybe you just want to wander around and catch 2 or 3 hours of music and then you want to do something else, it's really easy to do that. So it's easy to get in and out of the festival because there's no, there are gates to go out on the river walk, on the moonwalk area, right out on the river. And by gates, I mean, there's like, there's a staff presence, a security presence, so that they make sure you're not bringing in outside drinks and beverages or firearms or those kind of things. But for the most part, you are wandering around the French Quarter. So for those of you that have been in the French Quarter, you know it's a neighborhood. You're wandering in and out, and you can get to the stages. It does get crowded, like any big festival, but it's also relatively, particularly if you're not at the biggest stage or two right on the river, it's relatively easy to get in and out. If there's a band you want to see and you don't want to go camp out for an hour or two ahead of time, it's pretty easy to find a little wiggle room in the back or on the sides, Jackson Square, for instance, or some of the smaller venues. It's really not that difficult. It's also a setting in my guides on both, in the other podcast episodes on both French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest, one of the things that I suggest is that you travel light. And French Quarter Fest is really kind of made for that. You know, you might want to bring a bag chair, but it's even better if you don't, and maybe just bring a towel or a beach blanket to sit on. Because anything else you're going to need, if you want food or water, or if you need to go sit down and have a meal, all of that is right there in the French Quarter. And that kind of brings up another advantage that while the vendors are terrific, the food vendors, as good as Jazz Fest, you have the option of going to restaurants in the French Quarter as well. Now, if you want to go someplace that has a sit-down meal, I would definitely suggest trying to make reservations. And if you're listening to this in early April, just a week before the festival, your timing may be limited. But in general, when you listen to this, you have the opportunity. You can go for a sit-down meal, and you know, whether you make reservations or you try to go wait in line, you at least have options beyond the vendors at the festival. And more importantly, from my perspective, that gives you an opportunity to get out of the heat. Another good point, especially when you're comparing it to Jazz Fest, is that it's a couple of weeks, not much, but a couple of weeks earlier, and so that tends to mean the weather's a little cooler. We are, again, in April in New Orleans. It's pretty tropical. As I'm recording this, I think it's about 80 degrees. So we're getting into the early heat of late spring, early summer, but it tends to be a little bit cooler. I guess if you were going to come up with some downsides to French Quarter Fest, the space can be limited and it certainly gets crowded. Now, limited is somewhat relative, right? I mean, there are plenty of stages and there's plenty of, you can walk around and catch the music sort of from the edge pretty easily, but it can get crowded. Certainly at the two biggest stages along the riverfront, you can expect people to camp out there and put up their chairs and sit for most of the day. There are not the big name musicians that there are at Jazz Fest, or let me say the big name national and international acts. The music you're going to hear is terrific and every bit as good as what you're going to hear at Jazz Fest. And in fact, there's a ton of overlap. Essentially, most of the really great musicians in New Orleans play at both festivals. It's not an exact Venn diagram, but there's a big overlap. But what you're not going to get is the big, big name acts. Like, I'm jumping ahead, but this year at Jazz Fest, you're going to get Lizzo, Santana, Ed Sheeran, Ludacris, Dead and Company. You're not going to get those kind of acts, but you are going to get really great local acts at both of them. And that's where French Quarter Fest shines, because that's what it's focused on. It's focused on New Orleans musicians and, to a lesser extent, musicians from across Louisiana. There, I guess if I'm thinking about bad points, there's limited seating. So there are, I'm not sure that there's any bleachers set up anywhere. You can certainly bring a bag chair, or, you know, we'll usually just bring a blanket or a beach towel. And at a bunch of the stages, there isn't much shade. So some of them are set up in parking lots or along the riverfront where there's not a ton of shade. Now, that can also be true at Jazz Fest, but if we're focusing on French Quarter Fest, the seating and the lack of shade is tough. Of course, you have an out, like I've mentioned several times already. You can go into one of the hundreds of businesses inside the French Quarter, and you can get out of it. You can also take a break. So if you're staying at a nearby hotel, you can go catch some things early in the day, take a break during the middle of the day when it's hot. If you've chosen a place with a pool, you can go relax at the pool, and then you come back in the, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock and catch the last couple of hours. This is kind of a personal point, but I feel like the noise level can get overwhelming in certain areas. They do a pretty good job of staggering the stages and the times of the performance, so there's not that much bleed over. And of course, because it's in the French Quarter, you have buildings in the way, so that helps a lot. But I do find sometimes, maybe it is because of the buildings, it gets really loud. Again, that might be my 52-year-old ears, so, you know, take that with, do with that what you will, but I do find sometimes it's pretty loud. Yeah, so that's kind of a quick overview of the French Quarter Fest. Some of the good, I don't find a lot of bad about it. You know, perhaps the biggest plus of French Quarter Fest is that it's free, but these other points that I've made, being able to get out of the sun, being able to get food, not only from the terrific vendors, but also from anywhere in the French Quarter, being able to split up your day and maybe go to a museum and also hear some music, that's really a nice kind of mix. And again, the music you're going to hear is terrific. So let's talk a little bit about Jazz Fest. So Jazz Fest is always held on the last weekend of April and the first weekend of May, and it's at the New Orleans Fairgrounds. So that's in the mid-city neighborhood. You can get to it via streetcar from downtown. So it's not as convenient as staying in the French Quarter or the Central Business District and being able just to walk a couple blocks to the French Quarter Fest, but it's not inconvenient at all. Now, what I will say is you don't really want to drive to either one. You can drive to the French Quarter Fest, and you can, if you go early enough, you'll find parking outside of the French Quarter, like in the neighboring Central Business District, or you could park along, say, St. Charles Avenue and take the streetcar. It'll be crowded, but you could take the streetcar right to the edge of the French Quarter. If you're going to go to Jazz Fest, you're going to probably take a streetcar or a ride share or ride a bike, which you could also do to French Quarter Fest. Parking for Jazz Fest is pretty tough. Some of the VIP packages include parking on the grounds, but that's pretty small. You're going to be limited to parking in the neighborhoods. And frankly, unless you're a local, it's pretty challenging to know where to park and where not to park and how to get in. There's two entrances to the fairgrounds, one at the front, the main entrance, and then there is a back one that takes you through the paddock. Since you're at a horse racing fairgrounds, there's a back entrance that goes through the paddock where the horses would normally be housed, and you can get in that way. But the parking is pretty limited, so that's something to keep in mind. But anyway, it's typically 7 days. It is 7 days in 2023. Every once in a while, they'll have a year where there are 8 days to Jazz Fest. I think that was the case, if not last year, then in the last couple of years. Good points about Jazz Fest. A huge lineup of world-renowned musicians. So I mentioned some of the 2023 lineup. It includes Lizzo, Ed Sheeran, Santana, Ludacris, Dead and Company, The Lumineers, Trombone Shorty, Maze and Frankie Beverly, Herbie Hancock, and literally hundreds more. Like French Quarter Fest, it has a diverse musical lineup of different genres, including jazz, blues, R&B, rock, and more. It does, like French Quarter Fest, it includes a lot of local artists, local to New Orleans and Louisiana, but it also includes bigger artists. So that's one of the biggest differences between French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. French Quarter Fest is never going to have the big acts that tour all around the country, the ones like I've mentioned that are famous that you're going to go spend a lot of money on tickets for. But Jazz Fest has both that and has the smaller artists. They also have tremendous stages. So not only the two very, very large stages, but they have multiple tents that are really large. So that's an opportunity, one, to get out of the heat, but two, you have a gospel tent, a blues tent, a traditional jazz tent, and those are filled all day long from 11 to 7 p.m. with artists. So they're, you know, I didn't add them up. Because it's a larger festival, 7 days, they have more acts than they have at French Quarter Fest because they have the dedicated stages. Although French Quarter Fest also has dedicated stages, you're going to get maybe a little bit more depth, if you will, across the 7 days. But I would sort of put them at a push if you throw out the big artists. If you are looking for local Louisiana and New Orleans bands, they both offer a ton. The gospel tent certainly is an advantage at Jazz Fest. So if you love gospel music or you love blues, you have two tents, each dedicated to those. And then you have a traditional jazz tent. So again, for 7 days, 8 hours a day, you're going to have jazz music there. So those are some important differences and things that make it really great. Like French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest is renowned for the food and the vendors. The oldest vendor, or the one vendor from the very first festival, is my friend Vance Vaucresson. He took over from his dad, Sonny, years ago, and they are known for their sausage. So Vaucresson sausage is sold in many restaurants in New Orleans, including Vance's own cafe in the 7th Ward. But they'll be out there, as well as dozens of others. The food is world-class at Jazz Fest. Without a doubt, it's the thing I like at least equal to the music, if not more. Everyone has their favorite dishes: crawfish Monica, snowballs, couchon de lait po' boy, Miss Linda serving her yucca main, which is worthy of a whole episode that we're going to do at some point, but is sort of it's considered like a hangover cure, but it's really a kind of a mixture of I'll say Creole and Vietnamese soup, if you will, with noodles in it. I am far underselling that. We're in the middle of crawfish season, so you can expect crawfish both at Jazz Fest and at French Quarter Fest. But at Jazz Fest, there are several booths that do all kinds of things with crawfish. Crawfish beignets, the crawfish Monica I mentioned, which is crawfish in a cream pasta sauce. I think there's probably a dozen different crawfish dishes at Jazz Fest. In addition to the food, they really focus at Jazz Fest on the crafts and art. So there are several cultural booths, which every year there's one cultural pavilion which features music from a different country and also some artifacts from that country. So that's unique to Jazz Fest and really really interesting. And then they have these cultural tents or areas, if you will. And they include marketplaces, but they also include demonstrations. And they are focused on Louisiana, but there's always like, sometimes there's a blacksmithing tent. There's usually a Native American pavilion. There's a pavilion where there are people sewing Mardi Gras suits, so the Indian suits that you see them wear. There's usually someone decorating shoes from the crew of Muses, so you get to see how that works. There's a handful, and that's really something I think people don't stop to go find. Most of those are near the Fado Do stage, which is traditionally where the Cajun and Zydeco music is. You get to see a lot of these arts and crafts, which is pretty neat. There are two sections, actually, of vendors that are selling their goods. And these are from vendors from all over the country and sometimes all over the world. You'll have artists and artisans. So you'll have, you know, all kinds of art and different media. You'll have jewelry. You'll have some clothing. There is a separate, and so there's two areas kind of over by the blues and gospel tents. And those areas change out. So the artisans the first week are not the same as the artisans the second week, so those turn over, if you will. And then a Congo Square, which is a square right next to a music stage called Congo Square, which traditionally has African-American artists, they also have a cultural area, and they sell goods and wares that are largely focused on African-American vendors. So that's pretty neat, and that's something that's different than the French Quarter Fest. I think it's a great setting at the fairgrounds. So the horse meet, the fairgrounds track meet, just ended. I'm recording this in early April, and it just ended a couple days ago. It started on Thanksgiving Day, or right before Thanksgiving Day, and it runs to right now. So they then immediately switch over and get ready for the fairgrounds, get the fairgrounds ready for Jazz Fest. It's a pretty nice setting to me. If there's a downside, it's that you're in the interior of a horse track. So all that implies, there is very, very little shade in the fairgrounds. It's also a horse track. So on days that it rains and then the heat comes out, it smells like you think it would smell, which is not always the best. And it can get muddy and everything else mixed into that mud. So that can be, I'm trying to highlight good points, and that would be a bad point. But in general, I think the fairgrounds is a beautiful setting. It's a really fun atmosphere that is fabulous for people watching and dancing. In fact, both of them are fun for dancing, and French Quarter Fest actually has some dancing seminars, so there are times on the schedule, if you look, that you can go take different kinds of dance lessons. They don't have that at French Jazz Fest, but if you go to the Fado Do stage, you will find a partner, usually an older gentleman or woman. If you look like you want to learn, or if you walk up and see someone and want to learn how to dance, say, the Cajun two-step, you will find somebody that will help you do that. But it's a fun atmosphere. It's great for people watching. It's my number one event for people watching in the city. There's also lots of traditions associated with Jazz Fest. So people put flags in the ground and mount them on like telescoping rods so that you can find your group, because it does get crowded at the big stages. And that's a lot of fun to see the creativity. You see the same flags year after year, and you also see some new ones. And people are just incredibly creative. That's a tradition that's been at Jazz Fest for decades. There's also the fest wear, so they make a line of clothing every year. They make a women's dress, a women's skirt, a women's button-down shirt, and a men's button-down shirt, and they're collectible. And you'll see people wearing some. I think my oldest one is probably 25 years old, but you'll see people wearing some from the early years, which are pretty neat if you know what to look for. They also have the posters. Jazz Fest posters are world-renowned and collectible. I mentioned the tents, which is different than French Quarter Fest. So you have a half a dozen, maybe eight different tents with music in them. You also have the grandstands of the fairgrounds itself. So that provides some shade, an opportunity to go inside, go to the restroom. There are some pavilions in there that have art on display, and they usually have a focused area on part of the African-American culture. So it's typically Mardi Gras Indians or some other facet of our culture that you can check out there. Last year, they didn't have it for whatever reason, but there is a stage called the Allison Minor stage. Allison Minor was very involved from the beginning of Jazz Fest, and it's a stage where they do interviews. It's really nice because you're inside and you can sit in a hardback chair or a hardback, you know, you're in stands, so you can sit in a hardback seat and listen to interviews with all kinds of musicians, and often they'll play a little bit. One of my everlasting memories of Dr. John is seeing him perform on stage and then go see him be interviewed on this tiny, tiny stage, like probably 8x12, I would say. And he played a little bit of music and he talked about his music. And those interviews are always great. I don't know why they didn't have them last year, but I hope that they bring them back this year or next. So that's the primary way you can get out of the heat, is to go inside. There are also longtime listeners and or people who have purchased my Beyond Bourbon Street travel guide know that on the second and third floor of the fairgrounds, there are bathrooms up there that are not as crowded as anywhere else. Plus, you have the air conditioning inside. So on the first floor, there are bathrooms, but particularly the women's always has a really long line. And I try to tell people, just go upstairs one flight of steps and you'll find a bathroom that typically doesn't have a line. There's also some seating up there. If you need a break from the heat or from the music, or if you have kids with you and you just need to rest for a minute, that's definitely a positive of Jazz Fest. That crafts and culture, I think, really makes it a different festival. People think of Jazz Fest as they should for the music, but the crafts, the culture, and the food, to me, are at least equal to the music experience that you get. Like French Quarter Fest, there is a children's area. In recent years, it feels like it's shrunk down a little bit, but I'm hoping for maybe a return as we get out of COVID that we'll see that enlarge. My kids have gotten to climb like a vertical maze, for lack of a better description, that was also musical. So on each floor, as you would climb, there were musical instruments you could play. They've done paper mache. They've done a project where they decorated a fish, and then all of the fish that were decorated by kids throughout Jazz Fest were assembled into a collage that was displayed, I think, at the aquarium. And so that's a pretty neat thing. Like French Quarter Fest, there are after dark events. So there will be concerts throughout the city, after fest events at places like the Howling Wolf or House of Blues, sometimes the Fillmore Club. Oh, essentially any place that has music is going to have an After Dark series for both, for Jazz Fest, definitely. And many of them, although not quite as many, but many of them will have it for French Quarter Fest as well. The time is pretty similar. The stages start music at 11 in the morning, which is about the same as the French Quarter Fest, and they go until 7 p.m. And there's a pretty hard cutoff at 7 p.m. because the fairgrounds is right in the middle of, surrounded by a neighborhood. It's interesting, the French Quarter is a neighborhood, of course, and they tend to go to 8 or even 8:30 on a couple of the stages. But Jazz Fest has a hard cutoff at 7 p.m. Let's see, let's talk about some things that are maybe not as good about Jazz Fest. One, it can be really crowded and it can be overwhelming, particularly if you don't like crowds or you're a first-time visitor. There's always an out, so you can always go to a smaller stage. But if you go to see, like this year, if you go to see Lizzo or Santana, or certainly Ed Sheeran, if you go to see Lizzo or Ed Sheeran, it's going to be absolutely packed. And when I say packed, it's going to be crowded from the front of the stage all the way to the rail for the track. Some years they have, most years now, they have bleachers set up. And part of the reason they put the bleachers in the back is that it discourages people from filling up the actual horse track part, which then becomes a safety hazard because people can't move around easily. But for those acts, you're going to see people not only filling up all of the green space that's available, but also wherever they can, standing on the track outside of the fairgrounds piece, if you will, outside of the infield, excuse me, to try to be able to see and listen to the music. So if you want to see those big musicians, you'll see as soon as the gates open, people go and put down chairs or camp out for the day in front of those big stages where they want to just catch every act leading up to, say, Ed Sheeran. They're just going to go at 11 o'clock, they're going to put a blanket down and some chairs, and they're going to stay the whole day and catch every local act, every moderately sized act, so that they have a good spot for Ed Sheeran. Same with Lizzo. There are some bleed over. So if you are in the back of the Acura stage, which is the biggest stage, you kind of intersect with the music from Congo Square, so that sometimes if you're too far back, you can kind of get both of them, which means you don't get either one of them very well. So that's something to keep in mind. Really, those are the only two stages that have the problem, and they typically only have the problem if there are big acts on both of them. My guess without looking at the list is that Ludacris will be playing on the Congo Square stage at the same time that a big act will be playing on the Acura stage. Those will both be packed, and you'll have the two crowds kind of come together, and that's where you sort of get noise and distortion less than music. So it's just something to consider. It also is, on a very, very busy day with a big act, you can get 150 or 170,000 people at Jazz Fest. And I like crowds. I don't have any problem with it. I grew up with Mardi Gras. But on those days, it's uncomfortable. It's tough to move around. My advice there is, if there's an act that you're just dying to see, then you go early. You get yourself parked as best you can in a spot that's relatively close to restrooms and close to food. You bring an umbrella and you just know that you're going to hunker down there. The other option is to say, I'm going to forgo the biggest acts and I'm going to go in one of the other tents during those acts and see something else. And that's a good opportunity because while other people will have the same idea, you won't have quite the crowd. But definitely the crowd can be overwhelming. Probably the toughest thing about Jazz Fest to me is that it has gotten expensive. And I'm going to caveat that and say, I don't think that it is expensive for what you get. So if you were to go buy tickets to see Lizzo or Ed Sheeran, for instance, you're going to pay probably easily a couple $100s for that one performance of, say, 2 hours. And that's not going to include access to near the quality of the food that you're going to get at Jazz Fest. Whereas in this case, you're going to pay $85 in advance for a one-day ticket or $95 at the gate. They have weekend passes, so the first weekend is 3 days, the second weekend is 4 days. So the first weekend includes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The second weekend includes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So those passes are either $240 or $290 in 2023, depending on which weekend you select. Pretty much the prices are going up every single year by $5 or $10 on the daily pass. on the second weekend, the Thursday, is what they call Locals Day, and locals can get in for $50. So that, by today's standards at Jazz Fest, is absolutely a steal. But, you know, it's expensive. And then not only, so that's your price for admission, whereas the French Quarter Fest is free. And then you're still going to spend money at the food booth. So you have to factor that in as well. And depending where you're coming from, you may have some transportation costs. So riding the streetcar is $1.25 each way. So that's nominal. You can walk down Esplanade Street from the back of the French Quarter. And in fact, I tell people to do that. It's a nice walk. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people doing the same thing, so it's safe. You're in a crowd. It's a festive atmosphere. You can grab a drink along the way. But compared to free for French Quarter Fest, you're talking $85 to $95 a day for Jazz Fest. If you go for 2 or 3 days or go for a weekend, you know, that's adding up. Do I think it's worth it? I do think it's worth it, but I also understand that that prices a lot of people out, that people just can't afford that. And there are... children's tickets are inexpensive. They're either $5 or $10 a day. But if you pay $95 at the gate, let's say for my wife and I, and $10 each for the two kids, and we go and we only stay for an hour or two because the kids have had enough, or it's hot, or it rains, or whatever it might be, well, now we're out several hundred dollars by the time we buy food and a beer, right? Versus you can go to French Quarter Festival, and if you throw out the international artists and the big rock artist, let's say, well, you're going to get every bit as quality of music, and you can go for a couple hours and you haven't paid anything other than whatever you buy to eat and drink. So, you know, that's something you have to factor in. The weather, you know, it's a couple weeks later compared to French Quarter Fest, so it is hot. We do usually get a day or two that's just beautiful, sublime weather, but most of the time you're talking 85 to 90 degrees and 85 to 95% humidity, very little shade. You're out there most of the day, particularly if you're like me and trying to get your money's worth, and you get out there when the gates open and you stay till 7 o'clock. You're on a horse track, so it's dusty and dirty, or it has rained and now it is dirty and muddy. It can be difficult to navigate the fairgrounds. And what I mean by that, again, is on the days when there's a lot of people, it's just hard to get around or get out of that traffic to get to a less crowded stage. And the good and bad of it being enclosed, right, is it's all one big party, which is terrific, but it also makes it hard to get out. There's also, with the exception of buying the something called a brass pass, which is sold by WWOZ, a local not-for-profit radio station. If you don't have a brass pass, then you don't have in and out privileges. So you pay your $95 to go in, and if you have to leave, there's no coming back. Whereas French Quarter Fest, there's no fee. You have to go through the metal detectors or the wanding or whatever the security procedures are, but you can leave. So you can go off back to your hotel for a couple hours, or I could take the kids in the morning, bring them home, and go back in the evening if I wanted to see something locally and wouldn't have the cost. So you definitely have to think about that cost, as well as the kind of navigating Jazz Fest. Now, I've given you some positives and negatives about both of them. Someone, if I don't bring it up, is going to write me and ask, so what do you think? As a local, what I can tell you is that I love Jazz Fest. French Quarter Fest is amazing, and I love all the things I've talked about, but there's something about the traditions, the clothing, the food, the flags, the music, the tents, gospel tent, for instance, comes to mind, the jazz tent, the Allison Minor stage at Jazz Fest, that for me, Jazz Fest is one of my favorite times of the year. I love it. I think I'm actually going to miss it this year because of a travel conflict, and it will only be the second time in probably 30 years that I've missed it, including years when I didn't live here. The last time I missed it was when my wife was pregnant with our now 11-year-old twins. So for me, you know, we maybe go a little less often these days because of the cost, and we are really judicious about how we handle the kids. So we may bring them one day, and because we're local, we'll usually have somebody meet us right at the back entrance, and the kids can run out and go home with, say, Grandma and Pop, so that we can stay the whole day. And I realize people that aren't from here don't have that luxury. But for me, I think Jazz Fest is worth it. I just don't go. There was a time when I would go almost every day, and I think it's just too cost prohibitive these days. and the heat and all of the things that come with it, you know, in a typical year now, I might go 3 or 4 days or 2 or 3 days instead of 5, 6, 7 days. I do really like French Quarter Fest, though. I like the all the things I talked about, the ease of access, the being able to get in and out, being able to go to a museum or go get food somewhere else. Or when you're done, you can just walk and go get food somewhere else. And sure, it's crowded and you might have to wait a little while. But last year, I had friends in from out of town and we went and heard great music. And then we went and got a muffalata at Napoleon House. We had to wait in line a half an hour, but that was fine. If we had left and tried to drive somewhere, you know, it would have taken us more than a half an hour. Versus Jazz Fest, when you're done, there's nothing right there. There's a couple places within a few blocks, but not like being in the French Quarter. So you have to go off and then go out to eat or do whatever if you haven't had your fill at Jazz Fest. So I think there's advantages to both. If you've not been to either one, what I would say is pick the one that fits your budget and that fits your time. So for some people, maybe you're going to time French Quarter Fest with spring break if you have kids, and that's terrific. Go and do that. If you don't have kids or your kids get out of school early or you're coming without kids, then maybe Jazz Fest is an option. If Jazz Fest has been on your bucket list, then I would definitely do it. It is worth the cost. It's worth enduring the heat. It's every bit as good as you've heard. If you can avoid the big acts, and that's hard, right? Most years I say, I'm going to skip the big acts, but then somebody comes that I really want to see and I go see them, right? So, but on those days that there are big acts, if you can resist that urge, it's a great time to be at the other stages because they simply aren't as crowded and you can hear world-class music and you can hear just such a variety of music. So I think I would give the edge to Jazz Fest, but it would be like a 1 and a 1A. There's certainly not a huge gap. And if the cost, as I'm describing it to you, just sounds prohibitive, then go to French Quarter Fest. The only thing you're going to miss out on is some of the food vendors are going to be different, but a lot of the vendors are the same. There's a little bit less of the culture and arts, but you're going to be in the French Quarter. So there's culture and arts there, and you're not going to get the big, big internationally known artists, but you're going to get a lot of the same artists that are local. And the, you know, we have world-class music here, so you can't go wrong with either one in terms of the music. So, you know, I think ultimately they both offer unique experiences, and it just comes down to personal preference. If you're lucky enough that you've done one, maybe do the other. If you're a local, you should certainly do them both at some point in your life. And if you have the opportunity to visit New Orleans multiple times, they're both worth checking out. The Jazz Fest is a larger festival. It has a more diverse lineup, while the French Quarter Fest offers a more intimate setting. And again, I kind of use that loosely, but it feels a little bit more intimate than Jazz Fest can at time. They both have great local music and food. You know, it's just personal preferences. Again, I'll put links in the show notes too. I've done 2 previous episodes that are both several years old. So you kind of got to ignore the music that I talk about, but they're both essentially survival guides for the French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. I'll put links to those in the show notes over at beyondbourbonst.com/179. If you're coming for either one of them, or you want kind of a deeper dive on each of them individually, and also like how I should prepare, what I should pack, the things I need to think about, those are the episodes for you. So I would check that out. Before we go, I want to give you 2 quick reminders how you can support the show. For information about the French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest, and all there is to do in New Orleans, please consider buying my travel guide. Like the podcast, it's called Beyond Bourbon Street. You can pick it up online. You can pick it up from NOLA T-Shirt Club or from me directly. And if you do either of those, you will get an autographed copy. NOLA T-Shirt Club is one of our sponsors, and I'll put links to them as well as my email address in the show notes if you want to do that. You can also find copies of my travel guide online at any big bookstore, but you can find it at NOLA T-Shirt Club, as I mentioned, at the OW, which stands for Occasional Wife, on Magazine Street, at Octavia Books, Garden District Bookshop, and Barnes & Noble in Metairie. Many, if not all of them, have signed copies. And again, if you buy from me directly, then I can personalize it for you. But I try to stop in all those places and sign the books. Sometimes my kids also sign them. So those are extra rare editions. They sign under their pictures. You have to kind of hunt for them, because if there's 10 books, they might have only signed three and then they get tired of signing. We're also doing a book signing at NOLA Boards on Magazine Street on, I think it's April the 16th, so you can look for that coming, and that's a chance to come say hi to me, check out the fabulous offerings at our sponsor, NOLA Boards. They do cutting boards, as well as all kinds of other sort of crafts and gifts, and then they do, if you are in New Orleans and looking to remodel your home, they do amazing custom cabinetry and countertops. So that's pretty cool. So we are doing book signings all the time, but the one coming up, I think it's on April the 16th. Last, if you like the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a Patreon. For a few dollars a month, you'll be helping me provide you with content. Plus, we have perks at several different levels, and we're going to be announcing some live events soon. So you can find out more over on the show notes again at beyondbourbonst.com/178, or is it 9? I keep losing track. It's 179. A special thanks to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level, including Alexandra Maddy, Terry Lynn Massey. Welcome back, Terry Lynn. Jeff Willis, Will Eel, E-I-L-L, and Nathan Pickle. So thanks to all of you guys. Again, if you want to find out more, you can go to the show notes, or you can go to patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. But basically, it's a site where you sign up and you offer to contribute a few bucks a month to help support me and the work I'm doing in order to help serve you. So consider that, consider the book, and don't forget about our sponsors. With that, I'll hand it off to my daughters to close us out.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.